Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Robots Radio presents
The Cyberbuck Lorecast.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where style is just as important as substance. Welcome to the podcast where we explore the lore, news, and gameplay of the Cyberpunk games and other dystopian worlds. I'm your host, Robots. Hey there, Cyberpunks. This is the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This is the podcast where we ask the question, what if? And today, I'm your host, Tomer Robots, and I'm here with my wonderful co-host, the captain of the high seas, Captain Logan.
Yarr. It's spooky Halloween month. I'm so excited.
Yay.
I'm not dressing up. I'm not giving out candy. I'm going to stay inside.
Con candy.
By the way,
you were going to say condoms, weren't you?
No. Well, I mean, I could hand those out, but I mean, it wouldn't really do any service to anyone, I don't think. But hey, candy corn's still absolutely disgusting.
I like candy corn.
That's my TED Talk. Nope.
It's like candy corn.
Wax and sugar, and it is terrible. You're crazy.
No, candy corn's all right. You know what I don't like? Tootsie Rolls.
I'm fine with Tootsie Rolls.
I'd rather have candy
amazing.
Corn.
I would much rather eat a Tootsie Roll over candy corn any day. Candy corn is all right. Filthy.
All right. Everybody write us. Let us know what your absolute, this is disgusting candy is for this season. But anyway, hey, we're back. And for this month, with the whole popularity of the What If series, the Marvel What If series on Netflix. No, not Netflix. On Disney. It's on Disney Plus. What am I doing?
You defaulted.
I just defaulted to Netflix. Sorry, Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, we've decided, Logan and I here have been just talking, and we've decided to do a What If series for this month about Cyberpunk 2077. And so, Logan, audience, I want you to go with me. I'm going to take you on a mental journey here for our first What If episode. So you know the What If episodes where you have like the, what's the guy's name with the big head?
The Watcher. Yeah.
And he's got that ominous voice. I can't do the cool voice, but I can take you on a journey. I want you to imagine Night City, the night of the, it's not really an assault on Arasaka Tower, but the night that V and Jackie are sneaking in to Arasaka Tower, and they're in the room where they find the chip, and then all hell breaks loose. Remember this situation? Yeah. And the guards are chasing them. They're sliding down the side of the building. They break through the glass. V rolls over and looks at Jackie, and Jackie says that he's not going to make it. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. This is a very traumatic moment.
A very traumatic moment. And at this moment, he pulls the chip out of his head and hands it to V. Right? Because the chip has to be plugged in somewhere. It's not going to survive unless it's plugged in. V realizes that V needs to plug it into V's head. Jackie's not going to make it. And I'm going to posit the question for this episode. What if we roll that back a little bit? They break through the glass. They hit the ground. And Jackie survives.
So we're in an alternate universe where Jackie isn't shot. And he's living.
He's alive.
He puts the chip in.
Yes.
And V is still running.
Right, because up to this moment, the first thing that happens when you find the chip, Jackie grabs it, and plugs it in. V never has the option to plug it in until Jackie realizes he's not going to make it.
Yep.
And then hands it to you. So, in an alternate universe where Jackie isn't shot and isn't dying, he doesn't have a reason to remove the chip. So here's my first question. We're designing our what if episode. What if Jackie Wells survives Arasaka Tower? What happens? They leave Arasaka Tower. The limo comes and gets them. I'm assuming they make it out, right? They're both alive. Yeah. They're both mobile. They're wounded, but they're both mobile. They both get in the Delamain limo.
Yeah.
Delamain drives them away. Jackie's alive. Beat up, but alive. The chip is in his head.
So this is going to be really interesting because already right off the bat, we know that they're heading back to Dexter Deshaun to bring back the relic. Mm-hmm. The trouble is that Dexter's still going to be upset about the relic not being in good condition. T-Bug is still potentially dead from what we know.
Yes. I mean, everything else has gone to shit, right? Like the situation did not go as planned. Everybody knows the relic has been taken. Arasaka is on high alert. Everything's messed up, but they got out and Jackie's
alive. Here's where I think the interesting story that I would love to see is Jackie is alive. He's still well, but now he has the relic in his head and he still has V in good shape to help him. Mm-hmm. They meet up over at the Notel Motel to see how Dexter's doing. Instead of Dexter and his guy taking and shooting V, now we have Jackie and V meeting up with Dexter. Dexter's a little back on the back foot because he wasn't expecting both of them at this point. And Jackie and V managed to take down and hold or suppress. They kill the bodyguard and they get Dexter disarmed.
They kind of understand what's going to happen and they prepare for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they kill Dexter.
They take Dexter out.
And now Jackie is going to take over Dexter's job.
Okay, so let's pause it here, because the other big thing that's going on here isn't with Dexter, it's with Johnny on the chip. Mm-hmm. And Johnny asserts control over V when V is shot.
Yep.
And somehow reboots V.
Yeah.
And this is a mysterious situation that occurs in it. This is like V's resurrection in a way, where V seemingly is shot in the head and should be dead. And we're to assume that if the chip wasn't in there, if Johnny wasn't in there and able to somehow stabilize the brain or something, or his will wasn't exerted on V's brain, that wouldn't be able to happen or something.
That's a good question.
It's very vague.
Like if the body wasn't devoid of any life, like any mental life, would Johnny still be able to activate?
Would it activate?
The chip have actually activated? That's a really solid question.
And if it didn't activate, maybe it would still be active, but it wouldn't be able to take such a strong hold of the brain the way, because V went basically brain dead long enough for the chip to grab a very strong hold of V's mind, right? It's like it was able to migrate in to the empty space in a mind that is like, while Jackie was aware and plugged the chip in, there was no negative.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything happen. It's not like all of a sudden Johnny started, you know, trying to take over Jackie's body and there was like a fight inside or something. Like there was no negative ramifications of that. So would A, the chip stay dormant, or B, would the chip slowly start integrating into Jackie's brain in a subconscious way? Would he start getting like nightmares or dreams about Johnny? Or would Johnny start showing up as like visions in the distance, or, you know, sounds, you know, like how would that assert itself? What do you think?
I thought of two ways that this could go. And you kind of saw the fork that I created with Dexter getting killed. Mm-hmm. They need a body to frame for the theft. Dexter's now dead, so Jackie can take over Dexter Deshaun's role. They take the chip out of Jackie and they put it into Dexter.
So Johnny becomes Dexter. Johnny takes over Dexter. So Dexter becomes, in Altered Carbon terms, a sleeve for Johnny.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be awesome, because he totally looks nothing like Johnny, because that's hilarious.
So there's a huge cognitive dissonance between Johnny now taking over, and now Johnny sees what happened is still he knows, based on what, and this is kind of like, he finds out what Jackie did, and he's grateful that he has a body, but now he wants to be the best merc in town, the best solo in town again. And now you are being hunted by a Dexter Deshaun that is being controlled by Johnny.
Wait, so he comes after you?
Yeah, because he wants to be on top again.
Oh,
his ego has taken over.
And all this time, Arasaka is trying to get at him, and you, and trying to figure out how to get at him through you and also get to him at the same time. So you've got kind of this three faction situation going on.
Yeah. So Arasaka's coming after you for answers. So you got Goro breathing down your neck, trying to figure out what the hell happened to this chip.
Right. And you never bonded with Goro, and Goro does Goro get blamed for it at the end?
Goro is tasked with this, because it's unclear what happens to him. Like, I haven't thought that too far out, but I know, like, Goro is now trying to get answers the same way he was, but he's no longer an ally with you. He is still working for Arasaka.
Right.
Cause we know that Arasaka, or that, Saburo's daughter, knew the whole time.
Right.
So now they're just trying to get back the ship, now that they know that it's still in good shape.
Right.
You've got a Johnny controlled Dexter Deshaun still calling in favors and talking to mercs, because it looks like Dexter.
Right.
But it is acting like Johnny.
Right.
And
Johnny can pull up Dexter's memories and things and play the part when he needs to, but it's freaking Johnny.
Yeah.
Right.
So now you've still got Jackie, who's trying to become a fixer and take over Dexter's stuff, while Dexter comes back halfway through, and you start recognizing that Dexter's still alive, because he was missing before and now he's back again. And then he was missing for a short time and now he's back as Johnny. So everyone just thought that Dexter was just gone for a little bit, but now he's back. Mm-hmm. And now Johnny is now trying to use Dexter's ties to put a hit out on you and Jackie. And now it's you and Jackie versus Arasaka's enforcement trying to get a hold of the relic, and it's Dexter Deshaun coming after you because Johnny wants to regain his control over what's going on, and Rogue can't figure out why Dexter is trying to be so cuddly with her, so she kind of sees what's up.
Okay.
And is going to try and help you.
All right. Okay, so does this mean that we finally get the, like, full buddy Jackie V game that we've been wanting?
Yeah. This is the game where Jackie survives. You get to see the relationship between him and Misty grow. You get to meet, you know, Parker, and you get to meet Judy, and all of them still, there's still some of that. But the difference is that some of the ties that you make to some of those other solos and other fixers is heated, because now there's your word versus Dexter's and what Dexter's trying to do. So your relationship with Wakako is still really strong, because she knows who you are and what you guys can do. And she's willing to help you because she may never have liked Dexter to begin with. But Padre may see what's going on with Dexter and think, you know, they've had a longer relationship. So you may have to rely on Mr. Hands more, who's kind of off the books doing stuff on his own to help get you stuff that you need to take care of some of the people that Dexter's throwing at you.
Right. I could also see a bigger role for the Voodoo Boys in this, which I'm sure you would love, because they would be very interested in helping you help them get a hold of the chip,
or turn it the other way and have it so that, you know, what if Dexter recruits the Voodoo Boys, and Johnny promises them the tech of the relic.
Right.
When he's done.
Right.
Cleaning out the you and Jackie.
Right. And then there's a who's trusting who situation. Yeah. Like, you go to the Voodoo Boys, you promise them you'll help them get the tech if you help take out Dexter / Johnny, yeah, because he's in the way. But then they're working on a deal on the side with him, and then who do you trust? Yeah, you could totally play that up as well, man.
Okay. So that was one of the ways that I was going to go. The other way that I was going to go was, you kill Dexter, Jackie becomes the new fixer, and something happens with the relic because it's malfunctioning, mm-hmm, that it triggers Johnny. And now Johnny is in Jackie, and now Johnny's aggressive.
So, okay. Yeah. Cause we could pause here. Like, there could be a situation where Jackie's still shot, but he survives. Like, he goes into like a coma or something. You drag him out of the building, put him in the Delamine. He passes out. He goes into a coma. He wakes up, and Johnny is now active.
Mm.
Same kind of situation to what V went through, but without the trauma to the head. But like, loss of blood causes loss of blood to the brain, some sort of trauma. But the Delamine is able to get him to, maybe trauma team comes in. Trauma team whisks in because you're on the company card, you know, or whatever. And, you know, they're able to like bring him back to life fast enough. But instead of Jackie waking up, it's Jackie and Johnny.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, what if Johnny's in with Jackie? How do you think that Johnny's personality is going to mesh with Misty's relationship to Jackie?
Oh, that, we know. I didn't expect you to go here first. Okay. Can we back up a little first?
Yeah. Okay. We can go back a little bit.
Because my first question is, before we even get to any of Jackie's relationships, is how does Johnny's personality mesh with Jackie? Because we know how Johnny's personality meshes with V, because we make those choices, right? We can either be very confrontational with Johnny. We can be very, you know, like, okay, let's try to work this out. This sucks, but let's try to work it out. You know, like, you get to make those choices in the game. You get to see where they go. You get to decide how that works out in the end. Like, we get to live through that. But Jackie's a very different kind of person. Jackie is both, he's like the cuddly teddy bear that if you push him too far, especially when it comes to people that he cares about, he puts his foot down and he becomes like a brick wall.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so I get the whole like, okay. Like, I have a feeling like the first time Johnny pops up in his head, he'd be like, whoa, what's going on here, buddy? Who are you? What's going on? Like, he's going to be like just feeling it out. But then as soon as he starts realizing that, like, this isn't supposed to be happening, he would probably get very aggressive very quickly. And then he would realize, okay, aggression isn't working. And he would probably end up being very confused. And he would rely on V for a lot of emotional support.
So when I thought about, like, what would Jackie be like with a Johnny in his head, the first thing that came to mind was the goals of each. Johnny always wants to be on top. He wants to be the person on everyone's mind.
Right.
And Jackie also wants to be on top. He wants to be the best solo in Night City. And those two things lead you down a path that really does kind of like push Jackie to do whatever it takes to become the best solo.
Yeah.
The twist on that is that with that ambition comes Johnny's arrogance, his tendency to be very aggressive, and his willingness to kind of womanize.
I also think that he would see Jackie as being just kind of a total goof.
Yeah.
And not up to snuff. Whereas I think
he would act like his dad.
He would be like, all right, listen, you gotta be better than this. Like, he'd be like talking down to him all the time. He does that to V a little bit, but V very quickly shows that V is capable.
Yeah. V tends to bite back. I think
V bites back and shows that V is very capable. Like,
yeah, I think Jackie would be capable, but I think Jackie would start to fall in line And I think some of those aggressive tendencies that Johnny has mm-hmm. would start to come out. Like you'd start to see that short fuse in Jackie.
Yeah. And I think he would get very aggressive and miserable. I think he would end up being very upset. And would require a lot of emotional help from V. I think that's really where that story goes. And then that, okay. So once you've established that, now you end up with, how does that affect the characters around Jackie? And now you end up with a more aggressive, more emotionally drained Jackie. And that puts a lot of weight on his relationships.
Yeah. So that's where I come to the question of like, and this is going to be a weird reference, but recently I watched Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
And Little Shop of Horrors, you've got Audrey and
For anybody who doesn't know Little Shop of Horrors, this is an old reference. This was
a
1980s movie where a guy raises a man-eating plant and it gets so big that he starts feeding it people.
Yeah.
And it's like a goofy horror movie.
It really is. But it's also a musical too, which is really hilarious.
Right.
The meek guy kills the a-hole doctor dentist, who's the boyfriend of the girl that he likes, who also works at the shop that he is.
Was this inspired by Sweeney Todd?
No, I don't think so. Okay. But they are kind of similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, because I didn't know this at the time as a kid watching this, I didn't have the references to, but now that I think back on it, I'm like, wait a minute.
Huh. They got some similar stuff in there. Yeah. Love, murder,
right?
Musical.
Right. Yeah.
but yeah. So like the, you know, you've got Misty to me, who's very much like an Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. And you've got Jackie, who is the motorcycle driving dentist from Little Shop of Horrors, who's just a complete a-hole at this point. And I think a lot of it comes back to how Johnny is constantly pushing V to do the thing that Johnny wants and is constantly telling him to, you know, just forget trying to be nice to people. You can't be nice to people if you want to be on top. And I think Jackie wants to be on top enough that he's willing to listen to an egocentric person in the form of Johnny. And I think you get in this situation where you get a very meek Misty who is willing to try and support who she thinks is just Jackie, and it ends up getting dark. And I think that's when you start to question, like, that's when I think V and Victor start to talk and start to realize like something's going on with Jackie.
So do you think that this version of the story then has some sort of group intervention
in the form of you having to get Jackie to the tower with the help of Rogue and maybe Alt to try and get Jackie to try and get Johnny extracted at this point?
Do you think Johnny takes over? Because I think maybe Johnny overwhelms Jackie.
At some point, I think that's definitely plausible.
Yeah.
I think it's a race to time to try and save your friend at this point.
Yeah.
And it doesn't become trying to save yourself.
Right.
So that way you can move on with the future story. But I think the problem now is that you're still dealing with Arasaka, but you're also dealing with your best friend who at any moment could turn into the Hulk and just try and kill you at some point.
And right. You just can't control it. And that's another thing is that like you've got the whole situation with the pills and allowing Johnny more or less control.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, being Jackie's friend, every time you meet up with him, you may not even be sure who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Which
I think I think Johnny would play into that. So he would lead you into situations where it's going to serve him instead of serving Jackie. And you're constantly fighting this because you can't punch your best friend in the face to knock him out. Like that's, how do you deal with that? You can't shoot him because it's not, you know, that's not going to solve anything. So now, instead of you trying to do whatever it takes to fix you, now you have to try and coddle your best friend to preserve him in the sake of trying to remove this this ticking time bomb
right.
That is Johnny.
Yeah, I can see sequences in the game where like you show up at Jackie's place and he's like lying on the ground. He's just about to take the pill that gives Jackie control. And you're like, no, man, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to hold on. Like those kinds of moments where Jackie's like just at his wit's end. And you're just there like right at the last moment to like keep him from doing it. But like, you never know if he's going to go through with it completely or like that. This creates a whole different dynamic, which is becomes very interesting because there's a lot of like, you know, like how do you keep your friend from going insane? At the same time, it's, you know, like Johnny in this case is like a virus in his head, but there's still the dynamic of like Johnny's trying to stop Arasaka from doing something absolutely terrible, you know, with this technology that is still, you know, you still want to stop them, right?
But, yeah.
Like, so well, there's the that dilemma. Like, well, what do you do with the chip? Like, are you able to save Jackie? Like,
you're also going to run into a situation too where Johnny is going to want to attack Arasaka, and Arasaka is trying to get at Jackie. So you've got these two forces pulling towards each other,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, you have to be the person in the middle, pushing the two forces apart somehow. So you start running into the situation where you've got Black Hand now on the street hunting you and Jackie down instead of working with Goro to try and get to Arasaka's daughter. Mm-hmm. And that becomes its own feat. So on top of that, you still have to deal with all the other stuff that's been going on. And, you know, maybe the relationship that you have between you and Judy, or between you and Pan Am, doesn't work out because Jackie intervenes and Jackie screws things up. Or maybe even you have this situation where Jackie's with you, he meets Pan Am and he starts flirting heavy with Pan Am, and you're like, yo, whoa, what about Misty? And now you have to deal with that.
Right. And maybe that's just Johnny's influence. Maybe he's like subconsciously influencing Johnny to be more, you know, more flirty, more aggressive, more, you know, all of that. Yeah.
So, you've got River as well, you know, what would a River and a Jackie facing each other with a Johnny and Jackie's head look like?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like two alpha males trying to do what they want, and one asking for help and the other pushing back and saying, no, it's not worth my time. And both of them, like, you know, River is, from what I remember, he still has some pulls within the Force. So maybe he's asked to help out Arasaka, you know, maybe he's holding that over your head.
Yeah. Each of the different situations, even Rogue, you know, how would Rogue deal with Johnny in Jackie rather than in V?
Yeah. How would Misty feel about Jackie letting Johnny take control to be with Rogue?
Yeah. Or, you know, would he even choose to do that? Would Johnny take control by that point and just make it happen? You know, like, yeah, there's a lot of dynamics between all the different people. So I have a twist on this, but we have to thank our patrons. So we're going to go do that. And then I'm going to throw this twist at you because I think that this becomes a really interesting potential variation on this. So get ready. We'll be right back.
Following is a public service announcement from the Starter Set Dungeons & Dragons podcast. This is your D&D campaign. This is the Starter Set podcast.
You know how, like, poison frogs don't lick each other's backs?
So, it's Howl's Moving Castle with a face.
Hey there, I'm Great Mandibles.
Because one of the party speaks Abyssal.
You're all going to die.
And then adventure falls into your lap. Plop.
This is your D&D campaign after listening to the Starter Set podcast. So join Sam and Ed every Friday on the Starter Set podcast for prime Dungeons & Dragons content. Any questions?
All right, we're in the middle of the show, and that means that this is our time to thank our patrons, all 18 of you. Thank you for being here and supporting the show. If we have done anything to help you with your workday or your workout or your drive to work or washing your hamster, then please consider going to patreon.com/cyberpunklorecast, checking out the different tiers and seeing what you can get to help us out, because this is what we do for you guys. And we'd love to give you some stuff for helping to support the show. Also, if you don't have any money and you can't help us out that way, then just sharing it with a friend, leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts is a wonderful way to help us out as well. Also, Captain Logan, we've got a movie night coming up, because this month we are watching and discussing Akira, 1988's Akira. And do we have a date on this yet?
Yeah, so that's going to be coming up. We're probably going to schedule that for Saturday, the 23rd. That's going to be probably, I think, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern, I think it's 3 hours mm-hmm. after 11.
Yep.
So that would put it about 7 p.m. for British summertime, 8 p.m. for UTC.
Man, you're gonna all the different times.
Yeah, I have to. I got a lot of pirates everywhere in the world, man. You gotta know these time zones.
Worldwide pirate party. But you don't have to be a patron to join us. We will be watching this together on the Robots Radio Discord. You can join us in there. We will be chatting in the chat while we watch it. This movie is available if you want to watch it on Hulu. So if you are a Hulu subscriber or want to be a Hulu subscriber for the month, you can do that in order to watch it on Hulu. It may even be free on Hulu with ads. I don't know if it's one of those things. You could even watch it with ads if you want to watch it for free. So if you're able to join us and watch it together, you can do that. If you're not able to join us and you want to watch it and be part of the conversation later, you can do that as well. And if you would like to be part of the Patreon and join us at the end of the month to discuss it on the show, then you just need to sign up and be one of our cyber upgrade patrons. And we'd love to have a conversation with you about the cyberpunk elements in Akira. And we talked about it a little bit last week. This movie is phenomenal, especially for when it came out. This was a very influential movie in the world of anime. And I have a feeling you guys are going to watch parts of this film and be like, they made this in 1988. Yes, this is one of those films that I remember watching this at the time. And just I think I watched it when I was in middle school. So it was a few years after it came out. Watched it on a VHS tape at my friend's house, probably on like a 32 inch CRT TV. But like, our brains were just blown away. We were just like, we'd never seen anything like this before. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you guys can come join us. Again, that's on the Robots Radio Discord. If you're not already on there, there's a link in the show notes and you can just Google it and just join us on there. If you have any questions, just shoot us a note and we'll see you on the 23rd. All right. Thanks again to all our patrons. You guys are the best. Let's do the rest of the show. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, Logan. So we've talked about some different variations here. We've talked about like Johnny Silverhand in Dexter Deshawn's body. We've talked about Johnny in Jackie, like plugged in and Jackie having to deal with that, going through a similar situation that V has to go through with his mind kind of being eroded by Johnny's influence. I want to throw another twist in here because I think this is probably would be one of the hardest dilemmas to deal with, but maybe not. So let me throw it out there. Let me know what you think. And also, anybody else listening, all of our listeners, if you would like to, I would love to hear some of your thoughts on this, because you might come up with some variations on this what if that we haven't come up with. And you might have some thoughts on some of the variations that we've come up with that we didn't consider. So please let us know on the Robots Radio Discord on the Cyberpunk Lorecast channel, because we would love to see what your thoughts are on this. And heck, who knows? Maybe you guys are going to come up with some crazy artwork or some fanfic story that you publish, and we're going to be like, oh my God, we're going to read that. That's going to be awesome. So let us know, because there's, you know, you guys are very talented and awesome people. I want to see what you put together. But here's my other premise. What if Jackie survives, right? Because that's the premise here. He's in the Delamaine. He goes unconscious. He wakes up, but Johnny has at that point assumed control. And Jackie is subconsciously being repressed underneath Johnny. Johnny is the predominant personality, and Jackie is the subconscious personality. What if it is completely flipped by that point?
Mm. So that'd be interesting, because I think that's where you have to start looking at resolution. And what does V have to do to help Jackie? And at what point does he realize that Johnny is Johnny? Like, and here's a character question that I'm curious how people feel about with Johnny. Do people think that Johnny would be Johnny and just not recognize that he's been an engram on a chip forever? Do you think he'd come out and just be his normal Johnny self? Or do you start playing into the idea that Johnny recognizes what he has, what's going on, and without letting it on, start to try and live Jackie's life and be a lie and not give away that he's Johnny? Like, which Johnny, way do you want to take it?
I think Johnny is an authentic, he is flawed, but if anything, he is authentically himself.
Yeah.
So he would wake up in Jackie's body, and the first thing that Johnny would do, so you would be at Jackie's side. Jackie yeah. would be laying there probably with some sort of medical equipment next to him or whatever. Let's say the Delamain drops him off at what's his face? Victor's, right? Victor's there yeah. working on him, trying to bring him back awake. Johnny wakes up in Jackie's body. So Johnny opens Jackie's eyes, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, "What the fuck? Who are you guys?" Right? And it's yeah. Johnny talking. And then he looks down and he sees a body he doesn't recognize.
Yeah.
And he goes, "What did you do to me?" Right? That's the first thing. And then he's aggressive, but now like they have to like hold him back. And of course, Jackie's a big dude. So it takes Victor and V to like kind of like fend him off a little bit. And he's lost some blood, so he's not that hard to like hold back down. And then they like yeah. strap him down to the chair. And then he's like, "What are you doing?" And then they end up having the conversation. They're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold on, Jackie." And they're like, "Who's," and then he goes, "Who's Jackie?" And he's like, "Wait a minute, what's going on?" And he's like, "Who's Jackie? Is this Jackie?" And yeah. then the conversation happens, and then they're like, "Okay."
That the whole time I kept thinking like that would be a smash cut to credits and you'd hear the Curb Your Enthusiasm song and it's like da 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 da, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the situation thought. I think would happen, and then they would Johnny would get the gist of like, I was on the chip, now I'm in the brain of this, you know, this big doofus. Is that's what Johnny would think, right? This big doofus. And yeah. holy crap. And then Johnny would go, "Oh, is that the voice that I hear when I'm..." Yep. Yeah, he's yelling at me. No, I'm not giving him control, you know. And then
so this is an inch. Okay, so I'm gonna do the dirty thing here, and I'm gonna fast forward to the end of the game.
Okay.
This is where I see it would be a really cool experience to have to come to terms with. And when I think of this, I think of movies where you have a stranger in a strange land, where you are now mm-hmm. with Johnny, and you've been with Johnny for so long that you do miss Jackie, but how do you say goodbye to Johnny?
Right. So the whole plot of this becomes how, like, you still have the plot of V and Johnny getting acquainted with each other and
yeah.
being more and more okay with each other, even though they're very different people. And the situation where they are, you know, brought together in a situation where they don't necessarily want to be together, but they have to be, right?
Yeah.
That's still the plot. It's a very similar plot to when Johnny's in V's head. But the difference here is that V is stuck to the situation because V is constantly trying to save Jackie.
Yeah.
And in this situation, Johnny could at any point choose to do something that is against, that breaks the boundaries of what V is willing to do with Jackie's body.
Yeah.
And V would then need to do what to, in order to, like, V needs to, probably V's perspective here is then the V's goal is, how do I get Johnny out of Jackie in order to save Jackie?
Yeah.
And what technology is available to me? Do I need to make a deal with the devil? Do I need to make a deal with Arasaka? Does Arasaka promise V something that they can't deliver in order to get the chip back. And then V takes, you know, like that's one of the options. V convinces Johnny, yeah, we're going to assault the tower. We're going to take them out. But then V double crosses Johnny. They capture him. They, and then V finds out that, oh, guess what? We never were going to be able to save Jackie anyway. Thanks for delivering the chip to us. You know, like, and then you end up with this bitter ending. Or, you know, like this could create multiple endings, right? We end up with a very similar plot, but very different motivation on V's side.
This would be interesting because I could see there be a really, I would love to see how this plays out in the sense that Johnny is transferable and Jackie, I would love to see to the point of what happens when you get Jackie as Johnny as Jackie for enough time to where you uncover a way to at least transfer him. And now you have to play with the idea of Johnny can survive, but Johnny still needs a body to survive. The relic can't survive without it. Mm-hmm. But much like one of the choices at the end of Cyberpunk, when you let Johnny take over, he would take over Johnny's V's body. In this instance, what if it was one of those situations where someone that was in Cyberpunk that we played through, we knew was dying, and we had an opportunity to transfer Johnny's engram to that body, like Saul? Would Johnny go into Saul's body and then become Saul and then have like a leadership role in the Eldecados with Pan Am?
Oh, God. Because
they never liked each other.
I don't know. I think anybody that Johnny goes into, he's going to make his own.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to take on the personality or the role of that other person.
Oh, you know who would have been perfect for this?
The crucifixion guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crucifixion guy.
That's what I was going to say too. Because that then technically he would be dead and nobody would think that he's alive anymore. And then Johnny could just be him somewhere else.
Be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see like if
plus his Jesus complex, he could resurrect. Oh God. Oh man.
It would tie in like the end game is getting Johnny to this guy in time before the murder or before the sacrifice and getting in there just in time and then having to fight against the people who are trying to stop him because they're like, this is an execution. What the hell are you guys trying to do with this body?
Well, no, this is going to kill him. Let me just plug the chip in. It's believe me, we're going to kill him.
It's fine.
It's fine.
He's not going to come back.
He's not going to come back. So, this is going to kill him anyway. Yeah.
And then that whole scene where, you have the confrontation with the family members, the ones that were, that he killed the family of, that happens like after Johnny's in control and they come to realize that it's not the guy that was actually the murderer, but how does Johnny deal with that? You know, and that's a whole thing. So with Johnny being in control, the only outcome is to try and transfer Johnny to another body. But how do you find someone willing to let that person take over? And what if it was someone who was planning on dying anyway?
Well, what if they don't have to be willing? What if Johnny just makes the decision and says, fine, I'll transfer myself. And then he chooses.
Ooh, like, that would be a multiple ending right there.
That's an ending too, because what if V and Jackie, because Jackie's still in his head, are able to convince him of like, listen, we'll make a deal with you. We will help you assault Arasaka Tower. We don't like these guys either. We don't want them to get the chip. They need to go down. They've been doing this. They put us in this situation. They screwed Jackie. They're going to get it, but you need to get out of Jackie's head, and we don't care whose body you go into. You need to pick another body.
You know, it would be great.
He goes into Goro's body.
No, better. Subaru's son.
He goes to, it's Tekka.
Hellman and Goro. Are forced into helping you transfer Johnny into Saburo Arasaka's son's body. And Saburo died not knowing that his son would then be in control of the person who bombed it.
There you
50
go.
Years ago.
There you go.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. That's kind of where I think it would go. I think it would be one of those situations where you don't want to say goodbye, but there's either there's an alternative where you have to either say goodbye to Johnny or you have to find a body for him to transfer into.
Or, okay. And here's my final or. Or during the assault on Arasaka Tower, your one other option is in the fight with Adam Smasher, you pull the chip out and plug it into Adam Smasher.
God, that would be justice.
And then it like pans to this weird like cyber conflict inside Adam Smasher's head where Johnny and Adam are fighting virtually.
That's Matrix 3. Boom.
Boom.
Congratulations.
Right there.
We just wrote Matrix 3 better than they did.
And then Johnny ends up taking over Adam Smasher's crazy Borg body.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Carrie Fisher has to figure out why she's in love with a big cyborg.
That's his ultimate revenge right there. That would be amazing.
Yeah. The guy that took down Johnny so that he would get captured is the body, the receptacle for Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although would Johnny, so then if that's the case, what if Johnny does do that, but now Johnny is dealing with this like tortured thought of I'm in the body of the guy that practically killed me.
Right.
Like, what do you do with that? Like,
I
what
hate
do you
this do person and I'm in him now.
Like, Face Off didn't prepare us for this kind of a storyline.
No, it didn't.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the idea that you're in the body of the person that killed you?
This is like, there's some messed up kind of stuff like that in Altered Carbon.
That's true.
They do some of that stuff. I don't want to give away any spoilers. Similar kinds of things. That's
good show, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. We got through the whole first season. It's good. It's a good show. It moves a little quickly at the end. Like, for as slow as the first few episodes are, there's a lot of stuff that happens as it gets closer to the end. It unraveled a lot faster than I expected it to. And I was like, it's quick, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, the ending isn't as strong as the lead up to it. But man, the lead up to it, so good.
Yeah, I would have been happier with everything that happens in the first season taking like three seasons of just like, very slow, but like interesting and long arcs.
Yeah, the pacing of that noir storyline is great. They just needed to really kind of milk it to tease things out so that every episode wasn't like, oh, you're making a giant leap forward. It's like, no, let's figure some of that stuff out a little bit later. Let's not make it so easy for him to figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that show. If anyone's listening, hasn't watched Altered Carbon, you really, really just need to like shell up the money for a month of Netflix and just binge the whole season.
Yeah.
And just really, really kind of, especially if you're a cyberpunk fan, it's such a good show to watch. It really is.
Yeah. We need words for, so I don't get caught up with the whole, like, not every cyberpunk needs to have rain in it. we need it's stereotypically a cyberpunk. Right. Like it is one of the most it is classically cyberpunk, but is also one of the most stereotypically cyberpunk shows that you will watch. Not in a negative way, but in a like the list that somebody would come up with when they first think about things. It checks those things off. You know, like, is there neon on the streets? Yes. Is there, you know, augmented body parts? Yes. Are there, you know, like does it rain a lot? Sure. Why not?
Yeah, really good show. But yeah, I love the idea of some of these twists on cyberpunk. We've definitely gone into the idea of what it would be like if Johnny wasn't in your body. Because I think that opens you up to experiment a lot more. I think your choices would be a lot different too. I think the choices that you make in cyberpunk would be vastly different because you're not constantly under this like ticking time bomb of you're going to die. Like, you could have a future with Pan-Em if you wanted to, and maybe once you're done helping Jackie, then you can go to Arizona and the story could continue on from there. But the possibilities at least feel more free. And the one thing that I'm curious about is, with this what if you were no longer the center point of the story, of as far as like you were going to die, would V stay in Night City if he didn't feel like he was being targeted so harshly by everyone because of this chip? He wouldn't be subject to constantly being hunted by Arasaka or dealing with all this stuff. So he wouldn't have had to deal with as much per se. Like, there's a good chance that not a lot of that would happen.
Unless you were just associated with everything and felt like you were caught up in all of it and needed a change.
Yeah.
You know, because.
But he's kind of known this his whole life.
Yeah.
Like it is literally the catalyst of Johnny that ends up pushing him to the point where he's either going to die guns blazing, mm-hmm. or he's going to die from the relic, or he's going to get out of there and die anyway.
Yeah.
But he hasn't reached that pinnacle of his life. So would he have still stayed in Night City to continue pushing himself to that future that he wants?
Right. Right.
Like if Jackie died from the relic and you never had the relic, would V continue on and just accept that people die?
I wonder if it even matter. I wonder if the different life paths play into that too.
Now, I wonder if V hadn't had the chip, V wouldn't have had to go to Rogue to find out about Hellman. Mm-hmm. So there's a good chance you may never have met Pan Am or the Aldecados.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And that whole storyline, because she was in the bar, but it was because of
you
going to the afterlife because of the chip.
Yeah. In fact, some of those, you know, there are a number of other relationships you probably could have said didn't necessarily happen.
I'm wondering, see, I kind of want to roll it back and see like what would happen if you couldn't get the Flathead. Like how would that have turned out?
Yeah.
Like what if you had gone to Meredith, she took the Flathead and gave you another opportunity to do it somewhere else to where you wouldn't have had to go up to that one moment when Saburo and his son were in that apartment. What if it had been at a different time? Like the confluence of those.
Yeah. The timing of that
is so integral to the entire story.
Right. Right.
That
one
shift in that would have been drastically different for the outcome.
Right. Hey, you know what? I think I would love to hear some of our listeners' thoughts on potential what if topics for the rest of the month. Because we're gonna cover these for the rest of the month, because October is a wonderful time to do things a little bit differently. So this will be the next episode is going to be a what if. The next episode after that is going to be a what if, and then eventually we're gonna have our patron episode. But I want to find out what are your what ifs, and I want you guys to pitch us. We've got some other ones we're considering covering, and I was thinking about just pulling one out of the bag and saying this is the one we're gonna do next week. But then it occurred to me, I was like, you know what? You guys might have even better ideas than we do. So pitch us your ideas, tweet them at us, send them to us on the Discord, and we're going to pick one from the ones you guys submit. If it's something that you guys submit to us, then we'll call you out. We'll be like, this is submitted by so-and-so. Thank you for the idea. Here's our thoughts on this. And we'll go with that. Also, if you have some thoughts on this one and they're worth noting on the next episode, then we might reference those on the next episode if I can find them. Sometimes things get buried in messages and things, but I'll try to make note of some of this stuff on the next episode as well. So some interesting stuff, because this stuff could go very different directions if you change one key thing in the story and things completely change. So this has been a fun conversation, Logan.
Yeah, definitely. And I genuinely want a call to action. If you're listening to this, you have until next weekend. You get 7 days. Add us on Twitter. See Cyberpunk Lore. Just at Cyberpunk Lore on Twitter with your what if for Cyberpunk 2077. Give us a twist that we can riff off of for next episode. We'll call you out on show. We'll let people know whose idea we go with. I want to see some interesting ideas.
Yeah. I'd love to find one that's on the surface sounds like a minor thing, but actually has huge ramifications.
Yeah.
Because those are the most interesting. Like, you could say something like, what if Johnny never blew up Arasaka Tower? You know, like, oh, well, okay, that's a big thing with huge ramifications, right? That changes everything from 2020 on.
Here's one.
Give me a tiny thing that has big ramifications. A tiny thing.
At the bar, as Street Kid Johnny, or Street Kid V, the bartender gets his nose broken.
Uh-huh.
And you go upstairs to talk to the dude that's up there, and he sends you on the mission to go steal the car.
Right.
His nose never broke. Or if your bros never noke, you broke, you'd never be sitting
Bros never noke?
Yeah.
That was great. Words. That was great.
If your rose never broke, then you'd be kissed by a rose from a flame.
Like a seal?
Maybe. That's a good seal of approval. yeah. If your nose had never been broken, would you be at that bar cracking it, fixing it, and then talking to the bartender about what's going on? That one little change.
One little change
could have kept you from meeting Jackie, could have kept you from all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So something like that.
Yeah.
Chat.
One little thing that listeners could have had big ramifications. That's what I know. It doesn't even have to be at the beginning of the story. It could be something towards the end that would change things. So like it doesn't, you know, it could be anywhere. So yeah. Give us your really crazy thoughts. Logan, you have anything cool going on you want to share?
Season 4 is in full swing for Sea of Thieves. So if you guys have not had a chance to jump into Sea of Thieves since A Pirate's Life, definitely jump in. There's a whole bunch of new shrines going on. We're getting some Halloween stuff starting up on the 7th. So that'll be kicking off this week. And Keelhauled is just going on. So if you want more Sea of Thieves news, or if you want to keep up to date with that, head over to your podcatcher, Spotify, wherever you guys go to, look for Sea of Thieves Keelhauled. You'll find me, with my podcast there, or just message me on Twitter at @CAPT_LOGUN. I'm always in the Robots Radio Discord, keeping an eye on the Cyberpunk channel as well too. So if you have some ideas, post them there. I'll keep an eye on them, put them in a doc, and we'll address them for next episode.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And I've been streaming in the mornings. This is my thing I've been doing the last 2 weeks. Every morning, starting around 8:30 Eastern, which is pretty early Pacific. We'll just say pretty early. It's 5:30. Can you believe it? That time does not exist. 5:30 in the morning Pacific. But in the mornings, I've been streaming. I've been working on stuff. I've been playing games. Last week, I played a lot of New World because it came out. But I'm streaming in the mornings until the middle of the day. Come on by twitch.tv/robotsradio. Come hang out with me. Be my coworkers. We chat it up while I'm editing videos and doing all this different stuff I need to do in the mornings. And if I get done a bunch of my stuff, oftentimes I'm playing games, or if I just want to just play games and chat with you guys instead of doing my stuff, and then I'll do my work in the later in the afternoon. You know, I work for myself. I can make my own freaking hours. So come hang out with me. I'd love to spend some time with you guys, and you can be my coworkers, because otherwise I'm just sitting here by myself with my two dogs and it gets lonely, and I don't want to be lonely.
Not in your Halloween.
Not on my Halloween.
That's where spooky ghosts go.
That's where spooky ghosts go.
What are people watching for Halloween? I'm curious about that
too. Oh, there's the new Midnight Mass show. It here's really good.
I need to watch that.
Have you watched his other stuff? The Haunting of Bly Manor and House Hill?
No, not whatever yet.
Those are. Those are good. Start this with month, those. Though. Start with those. They're good. They're both different, but they're both good in their own ways. I good enjoyed those. Different. Good and different. Kind of traditionally spooky, which I like.
I like spooky. I don't like jump scare.
They're more traditionally spooky.
That's good.
They're kind of just spooky, creepy stories, which
that's what I like,
which I like.
I like Slenderman stuff. I don't like,
they're more jumping out Slenderman. And they're more traditionally like when I think Halloween, I think more traditionally like creepy ghost stories. These are more creepy ghost stories.
I can't think of what it's called, but there's one that's like an anthology of stories, but they all tie together. And the guy did Krampus as well, but I can't think of what that one is called. But yeah, there's one movie that I historically, it's got the little kid with a little pumpkin, and he's got the little lollipop dagger.
I don't know what that is.
I'll have to look it up. I watch it every Halloween though. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. I've also been watching What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh yeah. God, that's great. Love that show.
Which is super fun. So yeah, I'm about, I don't know, 7 episodes in now.
I've Halloween. Been
putting off watching that, but that's a good Halloween one. Cause you know, vampires. It's
so great.
It's so good. So fun. I love how just silly they are. Because then doing traditionally like, you know, spooky things that aren't spooky. I love it. But yeah, anyway, we love to hear what you guys are watching for Halloween too. Come let us know. All right, guys, we gotta get going. Thanks for being here, Logan. Thanks for being here, chat, and all of our listeners. We really do appreciate you guys hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week for another What If. All right, guys, stay safe in Night City. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Cyberpunk Lorecast. This show is a part of the Robots Radio Network, smart podcasts for interesting people. If you'd like to help support the show, please tell a friend and leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you'd like to get in contact, please send an email to cyberpunklorecast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at cyberpunklore. Also, join the community on the Robots Radio Discord. The link is in the show notes. The music on the show was written and performed by The Midnight and was used with their permission. Go check them out at themidnightofficial.com. Until next time, stay safe in Night City. We'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Hey Guardians, we are the Destiny Show Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things Destiny 2. We invite amazing guests from the Destiny community to share their stories and discuss the latest topics from the world of Destiny. Check us out on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or live on Twitch every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will see you, Starside.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
How well do you know your video game lovers?
Have you ever wondered how your video game bays stack up against all the other delectable digital dates?
I'm Genesis, the girl whose motto in life is love, laugh, tequila. And on Two Girls, One Ship, we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
And I'm Vervada, the hopeless romantic cat lady and lifelong gamer.
But you should know that our podcast centers on character and romance analysis and doesn't shy away from exploring the fun of physical connection.
Or from the deep emotional connections built between two characters, using specific in-game dialogue and the overall narrative journey. So join the Two Girls, One Ship shipsters, and remember,
beauty is in the eye of the controller.